Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Sentinel Coffee, serving Southeast with locally roasted organic coffee and door-to-door delivery. More at sentinelcoffee.com. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. It's just about 36 minutes after the hour, and joining me now in the studio is Brenda Wright from the Juno Audubon Society. Welcome, Brenda.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming in today. Have you been out bird watching in this week's weather?
You know what? I sure have. This is such an exciting week. Oh, my gosh. You know, when it's snowing sideways, if you can find someplace that's sheltered, you're going to find all the birds that live here.
Really?
Yeah.
Because they're taking shelter as well?
Yes.
Although I always see, like, the ravens and the gulls and sometimes even the eagles flying into the wind when it gets stormy like this sometimes. Mm-hmm. So do you know why they do that?
You know, I think the ravens are doing it because they love to play with the wind. They're amazing animals. But a lot of times they're just scouting around to see what's available to eat or play with.
Interesting. I think animal play is such a fascinating subject.
It is.
Makes them feel like a little bit more human, I guess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So can you tell us briefly about the Juno Audubon Society, for those who don't know, who you are and what you do?
Yeah, that's a great question, especially since this week is such a busy week in our society. Well, we've been around for 45 years now, and I know that fact because we're doing our 45th annual Christmas bird count.
Wow, congratulations and happy anniversary.
Yeah, and so it's a group of people that were concerned and interested in birds, and we expanded to all of Southeast and all of wildlife and ecology. We just want people to enjoy nature and appreciate it and help keep it healthy for all the things that live there.
So what is the Christmas bird count?
You know, it's a great thing. It started over 100 years ago now. On Christmas Day, people for maybe 100 years or so, all the 1800s, they would go out and shoot everything they could find on Christmas Day. And
shoot? With a gun?
With a gun.
Not a camera.
And the people that won were the ones that had the most dead things. So about 1906, somebody said, why don't we just go count the birds and enjoy them? And so it became a very, very popular thing in New England. It was actually organized by a very interesting women's society with a few gentlemen thrown in. And it's been going on over 100 years now nationally. And now it's starting to be more worldwide.
How can folks participate in the bird count?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, we really appreciate people that can actually tell birds apart for this one. We have a great educational part of our organization, but this one we would really like people that are very interested in birds and can probably be very helpful counting and telling a goose from a duck to come and join us on Saturday, our count day, and they can join us at the Heritage Coffee here by Foodland or at McDonald's at 8 a.m., and the organizers will put them in into groups so that we can most effectively cover our 15-mile diameter circle that we're allowed to count birds in, because once you have a count circle, you're supposed to do it in the same place every year so that they can actually compare numbers of birds.
Where geographically are these count circles?
Okay, so our count circle is actually, it's kind of based around the airport. So it doesn't go quite to Thane, but it does go up on the backside of Douglas, and it just goes to Ockwreck on the other end.
There's so just one circle?
Just one circle,
okay.
Yeah, you know, if there were more than one society, we might have two circles, but we don't have much more road than that anyway. So.
And what kind of birds do people usually see on the count?
Yeah, that's a great question, because that's what our program is about tomorrow night. Tomorrow night we're doing our public program, and we're going to talk about winter bird identification, because normally we have over 200 birds that you might be able to see in Juno, but in winter it's usually less than 70. And sometimes more, but usually less than 70. And they're not very helpful about being easily seen. Mm-hmm. Daylight is short. It's cold. Sometimes the wind is roaring. And they do change. They change so much between winter and summer, some of them. They're just trying to be as camouflaged as possible for what's happening. You know, there's a lot of blackbirds in the summer, like pigeon guillemots and marbled murrelets, they're much darker. And in the winter, they change to black and white so that they're much more camouflaged against our gray water, gray sky.
What are some of the predators they're camouflaging themselves from?
Well, around here, you know, the eagles like to eat almost anything. And so they'll gladly take a gull or another bird that's not paying attention. And we do have a lot of eagles. and there isn't a lot of fish easily available in winter. So you have to watch out for the eagles. And then the smaller birds, there's a couple different hawks, a gerfalcon and sharp-shinned hawk. Those just love birds best. And I said that wrong. Sorry, it's a northern goshawk.
Okay.
Not a gerfalcon. Sorry.
It's okay.
I'll get in trouble for that.
I don't know the difference. I'm not going to be the one to correct you. So Juneau Audubon Society has quite a few winter activities going on. There's your meeting tomorrow, mm-hmm. which we'll talk about how to identify winter birds. And then the Christmas bird count starts on it's one day only, right?
Actually, that's the most important thing because we have a one-day count day, but we're allowed to count species on days before and after our count day.
Okay.
So like last year, we had the most miserable day ever we have ever had. And we only counted 43 species on our count day. But because we're allowed to count from Wednesday before the Saturday and Tuesday after the Saturday, we're allowed to add species to our count. So last year we only got 43 species on count day, but count week added 11 more.
I see. That is very important to note.
Yeah. And it's if they're... The reason we do it in the same place every year is because there's a very good basis for comparing year to year if you do it in the same place year
right.
after year.
You have to have the constant.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also Project Feeder Watch, which is ongoing. It actually started last month, but you can still join. You can join online. Tell us about Project Feeder Watch.
This is a really fun one, especially for families or people that aren't don't want to go out and slip slide around on the icy streets or sidewalks very much, or the boardwalks that are even worse.
Yeah.
But we don't encourage people to do it before the bears go to sleep. So it's perfectly good now to be out there putting some good, healthy food out for birds, things that are most like their natural foods. And then all you have to do is just once or twice a day, go and look and see what kind of species you have there, and you can enter your data online. And then you can look at the maps across the entire North America and see what other people are seeing. It's really fun.
What are some common birds that folks usually find at the feeders?
Around here, you know, the some of the ones that are really easy to attract are Steller's jays, if you have peanuts, and chickadees, and many other birds like sunflowers, all the finches do. And then if you have a soot feeder, you might get a woodpecker, and the juncos like ground seed. So there's usually seven or eight nice species of birds that'll come. Even, as strange as it may seem, a hummingbird. If you have a warm, unfrozen hummingbird feeder.
Interesting. And you mentioned, before we started this interview, when we weren't on the air, you mentioned you had an interesting guest, a palm warbler, who is not really supposed to be this far west.
Yes, it's very, very unusual.
So they were a little confused, as winter hummingbirds might be as
yes.
well.
Yes, I know it's been a thing that's been changing over time. Normally, this little hummingbird, the anas, we see it sometimes in the summertime, but it's most usual northern ranges west as northern Washington, the state of Washington. But for some reason, some birds do fly north instead of south, and so we've been having accounts of up to eight birds in the wintertime. They come to a feeder that still has food, and the people that are most interested in the birds notice it, and then they do everything possible to keep that feeder from freezing so that they can keep the bird alive.
Oh, that's very nice. And do you know why that is, why some birds get confused?
It's one of those things that you can't really expect or know, but it's very, very important for them to be outliers. It's just like when the glaciers recede, the pink salmon explore each other's stream that finally becomes clear water. And if they didn't happen to do that, then there would never be a new run started in that perfectly nice stream. So you have to let a few strangers come and go very, very far away from the normal range to help them keep expanding their range.
Oh, that's a very interesting take. And that makes a lot of sense. So these counts and feeder watch projects and things like that, is that helpful for including outliers, for recording it? Where does all this data go?
Oh, yeah. That's a very, very good point. The eBird and Cornell Bird have been keeping astoundingly good records for the last 20 years. And we know so much more about all the birds. When they migrate, they have this wonderful migration page that's got, they use the weather radar so that they can see the birds migrating just by using radar. And you can watch the birds move south. There's just millions and millions of points of data that are now easily available to anybody that wants to look. So we have a very, very good idea of if a bird population is expanding, shrinking, or plummeting drastically. It's very scary. You know, we can go, oh, dear, something very bad is wrong or something is fine.
Are you up to date on some of the trends around Juneau and the bird populations?
You know, not as good as I might be, but when we can look back at our data from the Christmas bird counts, and we can see that of the 70 birds that we generally see, the numbers might change a little bit, but the species are still the same.
Brenda, what bird is your white whale, one you always hope to see but rarely, if ever, do?
Oh my gosh. Well, right now, I wouldn't mind seeing the spotted towhee.
Tell us about the spotted towhee.
Well, it's a pretty little bird. It's a ground feeder, it usually hangs out eating seeds and stuff. It's very common in the Southwest and much places much warmer and drier. It likes to go around in the underbrush, kicking up a huge noise and getting the small insects and seeds that are in the underbrush. And for some reason, there seems to be three here in Juneau this fall.
Really? And so you've seen them already?
No, I sure haven't.
Heard a rumor.
It's like the short-eared owl. There's a short-eared owl out on the golf course. Every time I go, people come back and say, did you see it? I just saw it.
Wow, I'll have to look up what that is. Sometimes I see, or at least I think I see, owls out from the dike trail, like kind of swooping over the wetlands?
Yes, exactly. The short-eared owls is especially noticeable because it's a grassland bird, and it lives up north most of its year. So it's just passing through here during migration, and it likes to eat the small mice and voles that live in the grasslands. And so it's not used to being able to sit in a tree, so it swoops very low back and forth across the grasslands, and then it'll sit on a stump and be perfectly happy. And it's not nocturnal because guess what? There's no darkness up north.
Wow, that's so interesting. I never thought about that, a non-nocturnal owl, mm-hmm. because no darkness.
What are you going to do?
And another time I was with a friend who studies birds. He's a bird scientist. And we were kayaking, and he said, that's an osprey, a bird flying above us.
Have
you ever seen one of those around here?
Yes, I have. But they just like some other birds, they much prefer the interior. So they pass through, but we very seldom see them except for passing through here. It's just like northern harriers. So there's a bunch of hawks that'll come up in the springtime, and you'll see them in the big grasslands and stuff, swooping low and flashing their pretty colors and leaving town because they don't like to live in the rainforest.
Well, I have to say it looked just like an eagle to me from the water, from a distance. Well, thanks so much for talking birds and Audubon Society with me today, Brenda. You can go to juno-audubon-society.org. Great website with all the information, all the details about the activities we talked about today, tomorrow's meeting. When and where is tomorrow's meeting?
Tomorrow's at the UAS Egan Lecture Hall, room 112. And it's at 7 p.m.
And then the bird count starts on the bird count is Saturday.
Saturday. And if you'd like to join in or find out more about it, look at the webpage and or meet us at our meeting places at 8 a.m.
You can also join the Project Feeder Watch online at the website, and you can get the latest Raven newsletter, which was very informative and adorable.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks so much for being here, and you have a great count this weekend.
Thanks.